This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not often when I read a text on air, but I'll just go ahead and read this one from Chip. I hate the new design of the Minnesota Star Tribune. I can't believe these people did it. It's a disaster. That's from you, right? Am I reading this correct?
You want this to be my last day as a
person? That is not.
I like it. I like our team.
It looks pretty good, right?
Yep. Yeah, it does look good. I like some of the touches, you know, the when the columnists they brought our pictures back instead of the drawings and yep. Italics. And just, I like the overall vision of we're going to cover Minnesota as a state. Particularly with, if you look at sports, what we're going to do, we're going to expand our preps coverage to statewide, not just the 7-county metro here. And so it's a new day, and I'm excited for it.
Well, I had on the publisher, Steve Grove, last hour, and I did say at the end, my father's been gone almost 4 years, but if this thing has any success, he's still going to take credit for it.
That he will. Listen, I hear his voice now in my head.
Yeah, they must be reading my old columns. That's why he somehow would be taking credit for it. Doesn't shock me. Okay, speaking of credit, let's talk about the Vikings. I'll say I recorded the Vikings game. I still haven't watched 1 second of it. I don't plan on. I heard a little bit of our guy Yadot, and I heard enough of PA and Pete talking about it, so that's good. I got it. They signed Gilmore. And yeah. So I'm gonna talk overall comparing the Twins and Vikings here, because I think the easy default is, well, the Vikings spend money, the Twins don't. And let me be clear, the Twins don't spend enough money, okay? But the Vikings were way below the cap. Okay, yeah. They didn't go well above the cap to sign Gilmore. They've stayed well below the cap. So before we throw all the bouquets to the Wilfs on this one, hey, they're just getting up to where a lot of other teams are already.
Yeah, but I think there's a track record of the Wilfs spending. I don't know if it's been the last couple of years, but, I go back to when I was on the beat with Brett Favre.
Yeah.
You go out and you spend $20 million to get him because you feel like you're short. And the thing that this – what this does to me, it's interesting because – outside of their building, if you looked at the predictions, there's not a whole lot of people talking about the Vikings, but this is the kind of move when you go out and get a veteran and you're willing to spend up to $10 million for him for 1 year. That's a move that a team makes when they think, man, we're right there. Like we have a problem, a hole to fix, and we make that, and that's going to be a difference for us. So I give them credit when they see a problem area that they go address it, and this is – Chad, their corner situation is obviously a
major problem.
It's a major problem. It's a result of different things. Obviously, the tragedy of Kyrie Jackson, Mekhi Blackmon tears his ACL. You can't, anticipate that. But it's also drafting. Andrew Booth, Caleb Evans, they didn't turn out to be what you thought they were going to be. And so it's been a number of different causes for them to be in this situation. But they looked at it and said, okay, we have to do something here because this is not good enough. And so they went and did it. Now, I have no idea how much more Gilmore has. I mean, the fact that this is his, fourth team in 4 years? I guess when you get to that age, that tends to happen. So we'll see how much he has left. But on paper and just what he's going to bring you experience and all that, it's a good move for them. And I think you have – listen, if you're a fan and your owner's willing to spend money to improve the team – even if it doesn't work out, you have to applaud it.
Yeah, I mean, overall, you're right about the Wilfs. Okay, I'm just saying in this case, I think it's worth people saying, okay, they were notably below the cap to get to this money. I'm just pointing that out. But I agree with you 100%. You know, and it's an interesting situation because I think we talked a little bit last year a few times that if Cousins leaves, do you plummet? Do you try to bottom out? But then can Kwesi do that? Now, since we've had the draft and they moved up one pick to get JJ, and then they grabbed Turner, and they gave up a lot for Turner, but man, I know you watch a ton of SEC football. If you watch any college football, you see Alabama. And I get college football is not the pro game, but man, he just looks like a pro to me. So I was fine giving up a fair amount to get him. I also think this sport, more than any other sport, Chip, there are four teams in each conference who make the playoffs, and you're like, how did they get there? You know,
every year.
Every year, single year it happens. And, you know, I'm torn on Darnold because there's no doubt that early on Darnold didn't have talent. But last year when he took over for Purdy, he's got Christian McCaffrey. He's got Brendan Ayuk. He's got, why am I forgetting, 19?
Debo Samuel.
Debo Samuel, right? He's got Trent Williams. So I think people in town, some of the folks who really taught the Vikings, are forgetting that machine he was behind last year, you know? So, I mean, they're in the mix enough, Chipper, where I think it makes enough sense, and I think everybody should do that unless you really have bottomed out.
Well, and there's the difference between winning and losing. Like I always say, the NFL, there's probably two or three really good teams and two or three really bad teams, and then just everyone else. And the difference between everyone else is really 2 minute drives at the end of the game. Do you put it together to make? I mean, it's really so fine. I mean, but you look at Kevin O'Connell's first year, the number of
craziness.
One-score games. Let's say they don't win half of those, and it's a totally different season. And so, but I talked to Mark Wilf at OTAs in the spring, and we were talking about the idea of, you know, I don't know if tanking, but just trying to rebuild to get better. And, you know, I may have mentioned the word tanking, and he looked at me like I was crazy. Like, he just started shaking. He said, that's not what we're ever going to do. And so I don't know that there ever is going to be a mandate. When you look at, like, what Chicago did the last couple of years, play a bunch of young guys, you know it's not going to look pretty, and then you hope to get, you know, Caleb Williams. I think there's still too many high-end players like Justin Jefferson. What are you going to tell him? We're tanking?
Yeah, right.
Like, how's that going to work out for you?
Darrisaw. They signed Grenard. Harrison Smith is still there. Cam Bynum, right? They have enough upper-level guys. And I see both sides because I do see the Chicago mentality of, man, now all of a sudden you got Caleb, you got Roma Dunzo. You know,
it worked out for them.
Yeah, right. There's not just one way to do it in this sport.
That's right. And so I think when you look at the way whether you want to call it the competitive rebuild or, you know, I think Kwesi's kind of sick of that term, even though he used it. I just think it's the way they position themselves with turning over the roster, getting younger, creating all kinds of cap space by, retooling the roster. That cap space is going to be a big thing for them next year. And so I think they're just, you know, I don't know what the expectations around, you know, the league are for them, but I can tell you internally, they're not looking at this as just kind of a tread and water type year until they can get that cap space and get J.J. McCarthy in there as their quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm not reacting in any way to Love in preseason. I certainly liked how he finished. I was floored. Mm-hmm. I was floored by the money they gave him after that little time. You know, and maybe again it's part three. Maybe, you know, we're talking about Love 8 years from now and he's on his second MVP. I buy into Goff, I buy into the Lions. I know the Bears have a lot of young guys, but that's a lot of young guys and a rookie kid. And I got to see Jordan Love. So I know there's intrigue about this division. I'm not convinced this division outside of the Lions that is quite as good as some people are projecting.
Yeah, I think the Packers.
Don't we need to see more of that guy?
You know, for sure. I mean, it was, you know, well, I think I told you before, when we were there covering the game, the first game last year, I left that building thinking, I don't know. I don't really see it. Some of the decisions he made, Jordan Love, I just, you know, you saw the talent, but the decision-making and you know, the instincts and some of that wasn't what you thought it'd be. And then they come here at the end of the year, and you're thinking, holy cow, they got another, you know, they've done it again. They got their franchise guy. And so, but yeah, I think you need to see more from him. The contract, that's when you got a quarterback that you think's the guy, the salary is going to be astronomical. So, but I do think I might be higher on the division than you are at this point. Cause I just think, I don't think there's any bad teams in this division. Yeah. That's the thing.
I just think there's still a lot of youth. And as the texter points out on Darnold, just circling back, it's not like Darnold played a lot for the 49ers last year.
True.
You know, he didn't, when he had a chance, you know, in the one game, he had good numbers. I'm just saying he was surrounded by talent last year. He's obviously have an opportunity to play a heck of a lot more this year. All right, let's pause. Let's talk about the Twins with Chip Scoggins, columnist for the Star Tribune, in moments on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got to get to one more item, Chipper, on the purple. Arrogant is obsessed with Chicago since they're starting. Is this, pot it up again. Is this, it's such a great song. Is this the greatest sports team song and dance? It's got to be, right?
We need to get a reenactment of that, right?
Do we have that? We don't really have a good the Twins did something.
A Juan Berenguer.
The Berenguer boogie.
Yes.
The Berenguer boogie.
That
yes.
That was very good.
Where he's in the trench coat.
Yes.
But there was one with, I think, the 91 Twins. I remember watching like a Herbeck Jack Morris video of something. But it seems like, I mean, just Ant. I mean, Ant as a personality. Couldn't Ant do something? You know, I guess
He would be the most likely. The Wolves would be the most likely. They're kind of a goofy, fun group. I could see them maybe doing it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So on the Vikings, I follow the Lebatard show. And Lebatard is interviewing Tua, right? And Lebatard does more than just the Miami stuff, but it is Miami-centric. And as part of the interview, Tua talks about his former head coach, Brian Flores, who's the Vikings defense coordinator. And part of what Tua says, and I retweeted if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
If you woke up every morning and I told you that you suck at what you did, that you don't belong here, that you shouldn't be here, that you haven't earned this. And Tua is pointing that out as a contrast with Mike McDaniel, right? And so I saw it and I thought, whoa, what's going on? I mean, we love B-Flow here. Everything he's doing is right. So our mutual friend and your former colleague, Kevin Seifert, I see that he has a quote from O'Connell in, you know, fairly recently when somebody, maybe it was Kevin in particular, asked him, what do you want to say about what Tua said about Flores? And O'Connell said this: I don't particularly have a comment on something that took place with another team, or I don't like to comment on comments of other players and other teams. But I can tell you, I know that the players Flo works with, he's got a great relationship with here. He really has. I know Minnesota reporters have heard a lot of them talk about how much they enjoy playing for him and how much I enjoy working with him every day. And that's all I really can comment on. I just like to leave it at that, because there were other players in that Miami team who were not thrilled with Flores. But it was pretty startling when Tua, who's pretty much a franchise, upper-level, elite quarterback, finally just went out and cut up Brian Flores pretty strong in the interview.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. During our commercial break, I saw Seifert tweeted that out, and I didn't know what the context was, so I Googled it quick, and I saw the quotes from Tua. That's as frontal as you're ever going to see a player get by a coach.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard that. I assumed that was over the weekend, and I think O'Connell was having his presser while we were on, or just right before I came on.
I think so.
So that's where that came from. I haven't heard anything like that from a Vikings player in the short time that B-Flo's been here. I mean, it's all been positive, and guys, you know, have praised him for what he's done for them in their careers and the creativity and putting them in different spots to succeed. That's not to say I have no idea what happened at Miami with, you know, his relationships with players there. But just in terms of what I hear from Vikings players, I haven't sensed anything like that. So it's startling when you see a player come out and is that forthright and just, you know, frontal about his relationship with his former player or coach.
I'm trying to find it because I think there's a quote from Ryan Fitzgerald, you know, who was the quarterback for about every team but the Vikings. And I think those two had an issue, too. I'm trying to see if I can track that down. I think it's one of these stories that it goes away pretty quickly, though.
Sure.
You know, it's valid. And by the way, there still are football coaches who they're that way, Chip. You know this every bit, if not better than me. There's some coaches, they're not all Kevin O'Connell. They're not all Kevin Stefanski, where they're Mike Zimmer. They're Cheryl Reeve. They're tough.
Well, and I've been out enough practices where I see me flow. I mean, he does coach hard, but some of that stuff sounded different than coaching hard. I mean, that sounded, you know, something else.
And
who knows, you know, the whole Miami situation with, you know, obviously Ryan brought a lawsuit against the NFL and them. So, I mean, it's kind of like a messy situation. So I have no idea, like, how bad things were and what was going on. But I can just speak from what I hear from Vikings players, and I haven't got that sense at all. So who knows? But I agree with you. I don't know that he'll go, you know, very far. I don't think when Flores gets – I assume he'll get asked about it next time he speaks. I'm sure he'll deflect it.
Where it could be a factor is in the – let's say the Vikings have a very good year. And Flores gets interviewed. That's where it might come up a little bit. Okay, we got about 2 minutes to talk Twins. They find a way to win, and then they're in great position to win. And I think Rocco's a very good manager. I was surprised that Alcala was in there for the third straight game?
Third straight,
But you know what it does point out? And again, they got so many guys injured.
Yeah.
That bullpen still has questions. And if they ever get enough people back where they could have Paddock and Varlin back in the bullpen like they were in the playoffs, and then you're not working out, you're not overworking people, and then you've got them middle innings, and then you get to Alcala, you get to Jax, and you get to Duran. That's awfully impressive if they can get that situation set up. But even with the loss, 63 and 41 after that miserable start, when justifiably so, the two of us and others were crushing them for money.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic turnaround for a long time.
Chad, I was thinking about this the other day. It's been the weirdest season because they are three games out of having the best record in Major League Baseball.
Right.
And it's like it feels like because of the injuries, because of the lack of deadline action. And I think it goes back to a lot of the fan frustration goes back to, you know, the Polad, Jim Polad's comments at the beginning of the season about not adding payroll. And so you started off on a bad foot, you know, both with the owner saying that and on the field. But this is a good team. I mean, it's 70 and 54, and they need to get some guys healthy. I agree with you. The depth in the bullpen is getting tested right now. They need to get guys back healthy. But this team, just every time you want to say, okay, here they come, here's the skid, they're not very good, they're too banged up, they don't have the key players, they just keep finding a way to win. I mean, Cray has been out he's going to be out for a month and a half, and now Buxton, but they just keep winning.
Well, if we'd have said they're 7-13, Lewis is going to miss 2 months, Correa's going to miss a month and a half, Joe Ryan, I had Falvey on the other day, Chip, and he said maybe end of September he can start throwing. Not he's ready to go, he can start throwing again. So I'm crossing him off the list. Pablo labored again yesterday. I know he didn't give up a run, but I don't trust Pablo against a quality team in the playoffs. He has done that. With all that happening, they have the best record in baseball after 7-13.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know, and it's like, but they've been resilient. I think maybe that's the word. They figure out a way to win. So it's been fun.
Right on. All right, man. We'll see you at the fair.
I will see you Monday there.
Beautiful. Thank you, Chipper.
See you, brother. Bye-bye.
Susie Jones. What sort of trouble has Susie caused? What happened with this water bottle? Who will she name drop? How much free stuff does she have so far? What can we discuss? By the way, how about Joe Biden speaks tonight? What if Joe goes scorched earth and says, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm back, baby.
In fact, Kamala, I fired you as VP. You know my new VP is? Hunter Biden. I'm not going anywhere. Susie's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.